SpecialOlympics.org.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, October 14th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and just 20 days away from Ohio voting on legalized marijuana. We're going to be talking more about that today in the Radical Rant that I entitled Marijuana Law Reform Malpractice. That's right, folks, we're 20 days away from the seventh most populous state in America voting on statewide marijuana legalization and medical marijuana. And yet, if you were looking for anything from the major drug law reform organizations, you're not going to find much. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in the Radical Rant today with particular examples. Also on the show today, we will get into our Hemp Day Hump Day update, kind of a Hemp Day Hump Day double shot. In the first hour for Hemp Day Hump Day, we are going to hear from Mike Lewis. He's one of the licensed hemp farmers in the state of Kentucky. He spoke at the Oregon Hemp Convention this last weekend. We've got his speech, about an 8-minute speech that he gave. Then in hour two, we'll spend most of the hour, listening to Doug Fine, of course, our good friend, the organic cowboy on Twitter, the author of Too High to Fail and Hemp Bound, among other books. And he, of course, was kind of the MC of the whole weekend at the Oregon Hemp Convention. He gave a presentation on Saturday that was, let's see if I can find the title there. Where did it go? Yeah, there it is. Doug Fine's We Won. We set the terms for a kind, regenerative cannabis economy. So Doug Fine's master presentation at the Oregon Hemp Convention coming up in hour two. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines. And if you were like me, you were watching the Democratic presidential debate last night on CNN. And the subject of marijuana legalization was asked of two of the five candidates, the two front-running candidates, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And while their answers were positive, and we'll play those for you on the show, while their answers were positive, they did make a rookie mistake when it comes to marijuana law reform framing. You're going to get a little framing lesson today in our Behind the Headlines and our drug war data mining. So stay tuned for that. But it all comes after the 420 radio news. In the headlines today, we have got polls coming out of the state of Ohio and a possible constitutional crisis due to two competing ballot initiatives there. We've also got the South Dakota Santee Sioux tribe already making their grow for the big resort that they're opening up in South Dakota. America's first marijuana resort in South Dakota, ladies and gentlemen. The Chicago Marathon featured sponsorship from a medical marijuana lab, so we'll talk about that. We've also got Detroit, Michigan moving forward on medical marijuana dispensary licensing. And a shooting in Denver over a ripping action, someone trying to steal marijuana plants, that may not qualify under Colorado's Make My Day law. All that's coming up on the Russ Melville Show, so stay tuned and stick around. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis business 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com. With years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Let's talk about the plan to legalize marijuana. The politicians are playing games by calling it a monopoly. They'll do anything to trick voters. It's not a monopoly. It's a plan that initially limits the number of growers for strict regulation before adding more. It provides medical marijuana for those in need. It creates jobs and generates tax revenue. If you think it's time to legalize marijuana, this is our chance. Vote no on 2 and yes on 3.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Two recent polls bode well for the campaign to legalize marijuana in Ohio, but they don't necessarily predict a near future where Ohioans can legally smoke joints and patients can use marijuana as medicine. Ohio voters support Issue 3, the constitutional amendment to legalize marijuana use in the state, according to a new Kent State University poll. But they also support Issue 2, which would prohibit putting monopolies in the Constitution and, say supporters, keep Issue 3 from going into effect if both amendments pass. If both do pass, as the poll suggests, a constitutional crisis could ensue, said Ryan Clausen, associate professor in Kent State's Department of Political Science. The Kent State poll, which was commissioned by WKYC-TV in Cleveland, found 54% plan to vote yes on Issue 2, while 26% were undecided. 56% planned to vote yes on Issue 3, while 10% were undecided. The marijuana plants are already growing in a remodeled building on the Flandreau-Santee Sioux Reservation as the Southeast South Dakota tribe shoots for a New Year's Eve opening for its first-of-its-kind resort. The state-of-the-art marijuana growing operation with its 65 strains of plants is in its infancy as finishing touches are being put on the building, where it will take about 14 weeks to grow about 80 pounds of pot. That's how much the tribe hopes to sell weekly at its smoking lounge and entertainment resort just south of their casino that is noting its 25th year of operation this month. Plans are for a club atmosphere at the resort that will be in a former bowling alley on the Flandreau Sioux Reservation, about 35 miles north of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and 10 miles from the Minnesota border. Last weekend's Bank of America Chicago Marathon featured a medical cannabis information piece from race sponsor Cresco Labs, a medical cannabis cultivation company based in Illinois. Quote, "The educational marijuana insert, which passed the Bank of America's rigorous screening process, is the first of its kind to be a sponsor of any mainstream athletic event in the country," end quote, said Cresco founder Charles Bachtel. Some 45,000 runners received the insert in their race participant bags, explaining the Illinois Medical Marijuana Program, entitled State of Relief, sponsored by program cultivator Cresco Labs. While Illinois technically bans cannabis growers from marketing products directly to the general public, Cresco's outreach campaign focuses on educating the public about the state's overall medical program rather than their own products. Illinois' Department of Health has approved 3,100 patients for treatment under the state's medical cannabis pilot program, and cannabis growers expect to have products ready to sell later this month. Three Illinois dispensaries are fully licensed and ready to open. Detroit's medical marijuana industry received a big boost Tuesday with the passage of an ordinance that allows the city to license marijuana dispensaries. The 6-1 vote gives Detroit the power to establish licensing guidelines, inspection requirements, a fee schedule, and penalties, in essence helping to legitimize the scores of unregulated dispensaries that currently exist in the city. Under the ordinance, all dispensaries will have to obtain a license from the city or shut down. While some, or perhaps many, existing dispensaries won't be able to meet the regulations and will therefore have to close, the move will stabilize the environment for those that can make the transition. Dispensaries will be subject to inspections and limits on hours of operation, and owners will have to submit to a background check. The next step comes Thursday when the council is scheduled to vote on zoning ordinances that will determine how close dispensaries can be to schools, parks, liquor stores, and houses of worship. Denver police officers are investigating a shooting following what's described as an attempted burglary at a marijuana home grow in South Denver. The scenario suggests that this could be the first reported Make My Day shooting involving a pot grow. However, officers on the scene suggest that the incident may not qualify under the law, which allows individuals to use lethal force against home invaders. 7 News reporter Lindsay Watts tweeted from the scene that, quote, police on scene say no evidence that a person was shot on Wolf Street entered the home. Make My Day only applies to intruders inside the home, not outside, end quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
I'm sure you've heard about the ballot issue to legalize marijuana, and you're probably wondering, does this plan make sense? How will it make Ohio safer? And what does it mean for me? Go to responsibleohio.com and get the facts.
Today in Behind the Headlines, we take a look at the Democratic presidential debate for the 2016 nomination for president. Attending the debate was the frontrunner, former Secretary of State, former Senator Hillary Clinton, followed by the next leading candidate, Bernie Sanders, who's been rising in the polls as of late. Senator Bernie Sanders drawing huge crowds in the tens of thousands. Then former governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, appeared, as well as former Senator Jim Webb from Virginia and former Governor Lincoln Chafee from Rhode Island. As we watched the debate, it was interesting. There was numerous times where they talked about the problem of mass incarceration in this country. But as they talked about mass incarceration, they never quite brought the drug war into it. Not until we got to about the two-hour mark in the debate did the subject of marijuana come up, and the question was asked to both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. We will play their answers for you, and let's just recall here that these are very, very positive answers coming from candidates for president, mainstream, big-party, two-party candidates for president, having positive things to say about marijuana legalization. Let's start with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders, right here in Nevada, there will be a measure to legalize recreational marijuana on the 2016 ballot. You said you smoked marijuana twice, didn't quite work for you. If you were a Nevada resident, how would you vote?
I suspect I would vote yes. And I would vote yes because I am seeing in this country too many lives being destroyed for nonviolent offenses. We have a criminal justice system that lets CEOs on Wall Street walk away, and yet we are imprisoning or giving jail sentences to young people who are smoking marijuana. I think we have to think through this war on drugs, which has done an enormous amount of damage. We need to rethink our criminal justice system, and we've got a lot of work to do in that area.
On Carla.
great reaction from Senator Bernie Sanders, pointing out that we are needlessly ruining people's lives. But he made a major framing mistake in discussing that. We're going to talk about that in our next segment in Drug War Data Mining. But for now, let us just bask in the glory of a leading candidate for president of the United States, the first one that I'm aware of from the Democratic or Republican Party, to signify he would vote to legalize marijuana if he lived in Nevada and had the chance to vote on that. Marijuana Policy Project, which is the group behind the 2016 Nevada legalization, has upgraded Bernie Sanders on its report card of all of the presidential candidates to the grade of A. Previously, I think he was a B or a B plus or something like that. But the former leader was Rand Paul with an A minus grade. So now Bernie Sanders, according to the Marijuana Policy Project, is the most marijuana friendly candidate of all of the candidates running for the 2016 presidential nomination. Though we don't know, because the question wasn't asked of Jim Webb, of Martin O'Malley, or of Lincoln Chafee. But the question was asked of Senator and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and her response was better than the responses we've heard from her in the past, but still not quite good enough.
Oh, Christiana Amanpour, you didn't smoke pot when you were young, and you're not going to start now. When asked about legalizing recreational marijuana, you told her, let's wait and see how it plays out in Colorado and Washington. It's been more than a year since you said that. Are you ready to take a position tonight?
No. I think that we have the opportunity through the states that are pursuing recreational marijuana to find out a lot more than we know today. I do support the use of medical marijuana, and I think even there, we need to do a lot more research so that we know exactly how we're going to help people for whom medical marijuana provides relief. So I think we're just at the beginning, but I agree completely with the idea that we have got to stop imprisoning people who use marijuana. Therefore, we need more states, cities, and the federal government to begin to address this so that we don't have this terrible result that Senator Sanders was talking about, where we have a huge population in our prisons for nonviolent, low-level offenses that are primarily due to marijuana.
And again, a decent response from Hillary Clinton, although it's disappointing to hear her say we still need research. And of course, her support of medical marijuana, it's nice to see that, like gay marriage, she comes around on it once over 90% of the people are for it now, for medical marijuana. So anyway, those are the two top candidates being asked about marijuana legalization. In our Drug War Data Mining segment coming up next, we are going to talk about the huge rookie framing mistake they made and how they've already been called on it by PolitiFact. And of course, Kevin Sabet will get to it, I'm sure. We'll teach them how they can do better next time they're asked about marijuana.
Don't you blaspheme in here! Don't you blaspheme in here!
Hey folks, that sound means that it's 20 after. That means it's 420 somewhere. Specifically, Denver, Colorado, and the rest of the Mountain Time Zone. Happy 420. We will teach Bernie and Hillary and anyone else who wants to learn how you deal with that criminal justice statistic and how PolitiFact called them out on it right after this.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
In the Democratic debate for president last night on CNN, we had two statements from Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton that made a huge rookie mistake when it comes to defending marijuana legalization. Senator Sanders said, quote, "We have a criminal justice system that lets CEOs on Wall Street walk away, and yet we are imprisoning or giving jail sentences to young people who are smoking marijuana," end quote. Secretary Hillary Clinton said, quote, "We have got to stop imprisoning people who use marijuana. Therefore, we need more states, cities, and the federal government to begin to address this so we don't have this terrible result that Senator Sanders was talking about, where we have a huge population in our prisons for nonviolent, low-level offenses that are primarily due to marijuana," end quote. These statements were such rookie mistakes that I'm sure Kevin Sabet's Project Sam will have a major press release about it. In fact, you could probably look up PolitiFact right now, as I have, and you'll see that they have rated this claim mostly false. Because despite how Sanders and Clinton have framed the message, the fact is that of the 2.4 million people incarcerated in the United States federal and state prison population, those imprisoned for first-time, nonviolent, marijuana possession-only offenses probably numbers about 0.4% of the total. Now, that fact is distorted, to be sure. That 0.4% doesn't include plenty of people whose marijuana offenses were nonviolent, but may have included possession with intent to sell, conspiracy to sell, cultivation and manufacturing, or use of a firearm when it was never used and was just a personal hunting rifle, for instance. Some people serving time for what are considered big-time marijuana offenses were medical users, like the Kettle Falls Five. The stats also don't count the people with prior criminal records caught for the first time with marijuana. They don't count people who are serving probation for another crime, get caught smoking pot on a piss test, and then get sent back to prison because they're classified under their original crime, not the pot. And then there are the people who are serving time in prison who turned to crime because their prior marijuana conviction has made it difficult or impossible to get a job, housing, and public assistance. Regardless, when you talk about, quote, "not imprisoning young people for marijuana," end quote, it is too easy for an opponent like Kevin Sabet to say, "Yeah, I agree. So let's establish marijuana decriminalization for personal possession with fines and mandatory rehab. And let's end the practice of limiting employment and educational opportunities to folks with prior first-time marijuana convictions." It's too easy for Kevin Sabet to point out the minuscule numbers of those imprisoned for marijuana and to show how most first-time offenders, even in some of the states with the worst marijuana laws, usually end up with fines and probation. The key for any candidate wishing to discuss marijuana legalization is to replace the word imprison with the word punish. Now listen to how using that word changes the framing of the argument. Quote, "We have a criminal justice system that lets CEOs on Wall Street walk away, and yet we are punishing young people who are smoking marijuana," end quote. Quote, "We have got to stop punishing people who are using marijuana. Therefore, we need more states, cities, and the federal government to begin to address this so we don't have this terrible result that Senator Sanders was talking about, where we have 25 million Americans risking punishment for using marijuana." With those kind of statements, Kevin Sabet and other opponents are forced to defend, why is it necessary to punish adults for using marijuana? Rather than getting to attack how Sanders and Clinton just lied to the American people. And used properly, the punishing adults frame can be combined with the safer than alcohol frame to force the listener into cognitive dissonance. Wait. We allow adults to use dangerous alcohol, but we punish adults for safer marijuana? See how that works? So PolitiFact, of course, has already rated this claim as mostly false because of the way that they can just go straight to the prison statistics. According to the PolitiFact post, the Justice Department estimated 3.6% of state inmates in 2013 had drug possession as their most serious offense. That's all drugs. To go back to data from 10 years ago, because that's the latest they have for just marijuana, in 2004, this survey was 0.3% of state inmates were there because of marijuana possession alone, with no more serious charge. The data shows that roughly 67,600 offenders sentenced to prison in federal criminal cases, only 28 of them were for drug possession alone, about 0.04%. And that's all drugs. So 99.9% of those sentenced to federal prison were sent to prison for something other than simple possession. So it's way too easy to do this. Stick to saying the words punish instead of jail, incarcerate, or imprison, and you'll be on much safer rhetorical ground. And if you want to use some statistics, go to the arrest statistics. Point out that for years now, we have arrested over 700,000 people a year, 7/8 of them for possession alone in this country. Tie that to the punishment frame. We have punished 700,000 people a year for something safer than alcohol. And that's how you win the marijuana legalization framing battle. All right, stick around. Hemp Day Hump Day update is next with Kentucky hemp farmer Mike Lewis.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I remember the day Addison was born. She was just perfect. But then the seizures started, up to 1,000 a day from severe epilepsy. Nothing we tried or the doctors tried worked. So we moved our family from Ohio to Colorado to try medical marijuana. Now Addison only has a few seizures a day and she's a kid again. We want to move back to Ohio, but we can't because her medicine is illegal there. It's time for marijuana reform.
Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
Welcome back, everybody. And Doug Fine sends his regards from New Mexico. He is back at the Goat Ranch. He was just up here in Portland last weekend hosting the Oregon Hemp Convention. I guess I should say emceeing. And he referred to himself as a solar-powered goat herder. I love that. But Doug sends his best, and he'll have more to update us on hemp coming up in 2 weeks in our Hump Day update. We figured that since we had so much audio from Doug, we're going to play almost a full hour of Doug Fine lecturing on industrial hemp in America coming up in the next hour, that it was kind of redundant to have him in the first hour. This gives us an opportunity to give you another great hempster's perspective, and this Coming up next is Mike Lewis. He's the director of operations for Freedom Feed and Seed and the director of Growing Warriors and a Kentucky hemp farmer, one of the licensed Kentucky hemp farmers. Mike Lewis speaking at the Oregon Hemp Convention held at the Portland Exposition Center just this last Saturday. Enjoy.
I feel like, does anybody else remember the Quiet Riot from the 80s? I'm feeling like I should have a little more hair. I am a Kentucky proud farmer. My family lives and farms on a small, sustainable family farm at the western foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I like to always start. This is a little different format for me. This room is very big, so. But I always like to start by telling everybody that I, first and foremost in my life, I am an agrarian. And so I like to, usually I'll ask people what that means, but I don't think anybody's going to hear you if you answer me. So if we could hit a slide. I have these two slides there. I can't see them because I have to stand here by the microphone. So I'm working by memory that the one on the my right is actually the hemp that was grown from the first crop in 2014. I put that photo on the slide because that was actually woven into the flag that we'll be talking about briefly in a minute. And that is my my son and I this year planting the spring's hemp crop on our family's farm. See that quote? That's a guy I really look up to named Wendell Berry. When I say I'm an agrarian, that stirs a lot of meanings, but I think this quote, it proposes a conscious and careful recognition of the interdependence between ourselves and nature, and in fact, that has always existed. If we are to live, it must continue to exist. So an agrarian is, to me, is someone who recognizes that we every day, whether we want to admit it or not, participate in nature. And more importantly, we recognize the limits of the natural environment that we live in.
Woo!
Greetings from Kentucky. It's the bluegrass state. So let's hit another slide. We're gonna have some fun, I guess. I actually got involved with industrial hemp, not out of a concern for advocacy for industrial hemp. I spent a lot of years working as a family farm advocate. So I gladly helped with legislation and policy for industrial hemp because it was an opportunity to remove a law from farmers, and I usually am fighting laws. So when Kentucky passed Senate Bill 50, when Fibershed, who is one of the partners in our cloth project that I'm here to talk about today, approached me, I really didn't have any interest in growing hemp because it is an industrial crop. And as I said, I farm on a farm that has 12 tillable acres because we're in the mountains, and in no universe is something industrial going to fit on my land and make money. But because of a friend, Alvina Maynard, who we're not going to watch a video about because there's no video, right, Captain? So that's a link to the video you can look up on the internet. But she introduced me to the folks at Fibershed, and Fibershed sent me a little video of a monk in New Hampshire hand processing flax and spinning it on a wheel and putting it on a loom. In about 7 minutes, I was, you know, the agrarian and the cottage industry guy in me just came afire. And so we wrote this proposal to our ag commissioner that we wanted to work with Patagonia and Fibershed to develop a sustainable blend of fiber with utilizing Kentucky hemp, Siri alpaca, and another farmer, Kathy Myers, sheep. This video would show you the great partnership and the camaraderie that came together for this project. So I encourage you to do a little search for the Kentucky Cloth Project on the internet and watch a little 5-minute video and get excited about what happens when a bunch of people come together to accomplish something. During the journey with the Kentucky Cloth Project, we scheduled a planting and got some funding. I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Vote Hemp, who gave us funding for a planting ceremony. We flew in 50 or so veterans from around the country to plant hemp that was, we were then shut down by the DEA. And we're pretty frustrated, and during that frustration, one of the veterans that was with us said to the local newspaper that it's kind of farcical that they're coming in and stopping us from planting very cloth that was originally used for the flag. After several weeks of harassment on the farm with the Blackhawks on a daily basis, we conceived the Kentucky Flag Project, and we see it here today. You know, this flag, it has a lot of meaning to it, and we'll talk about that, but this was made all of the dyes in this flag were grown in the United States. The recipes were colonial era recipes. We had to source 200- and 300-year-old pieces of equipment. The natter comes from Missouri. It was dyed in Tennessee, hand woven in Kentucky. It is a 50-50 blend that was intentional, and I'll go back into that as well, but it's organic biodynamic cotton, the other 50% of the flag is. The flag, as I said, it took a bunch of different people doing a bunch of different pieces, and so it gathered meaning, and I typically won't do this, but I'll let this happen today because of the meaning of the flag, but I'll just close with, I made a lot of friends, I worked with a lot of people I would never have had the privilege of working with, or even had a beer or made love to a microphone with or anything. So I close with saying that if you think of how things are today, they're very smooth and uniform. And I think about this flag, and I think about all those different people that helped me make it and helped us create this vision. You know, our country is rough around the edges. It has depth. It has texture. We all have different shapes, and we all have different sizes. So I really, you know, it was a privilege, a very simple thing, like coming together with a bunch of people and saying we're going to make something the way they did 300 years ago. Changed my life, and it will now change the life of farmers throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky and in Oregon. So that's all I have to say. If you want to come touch the material and see what we're talking about or ask any questions, I'm here.
That's Mike Lewis, Kentucky hemp farmer, speaking at the Oregon Hemp Convention this last Saturday. If you enjoy the subject of industrial hemp, stay tuned for hour two. We've got Doug Fine, one of the nation's leading experts on industrial hemp nationwide, giving his talk at the Oregon Hemp Convention. Plenty of great information to be gleaned from that. Coming up next at 4 o'clock Pacific time, top of the hour. Next on the show in this hour, we've got our anti-drug public service announcement of the day, and then my radical rant, reform organizations not even mentioning Ohio legalization. Is marijuana law reform malpractice? Stay tuned, you're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hey, Lindsay. I wish you didn't smoke weed. You're not the same when you smoke. And I miss my friend. I'll be outside.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. 420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Did you know that in just 20 days, Ohio is going to be voting on the legalization of marijuana? Ohio! Yes, in 2015. A year before California's next attempt, Ohio may join Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska in creating the nation's fifth legal marijuana market. And just like those four legal states, marijuana consumers in Ohio will be able to possess an ounce of marijuana in public, and it's legal. Possession of an ounce of extract becomes legal too, just like three of the legal states, and four times more than the state of Washington. With a $50 home grow license, adult Ohioans can cultivate four mature marijuana plants, just like in Oregon. That's one more mature plant for an adult than Colorado or Alaska allow. And of course, Washington State still doesn't allow any home growing. Medical marijuana will be legalized too, similar to Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. But Ohio will allow patients to self-administer medical marijuana at the workplace, something no other state, including Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, currently allows. The maximum number allowed for retail pot shops in Ohio will be capped at 1,159. One for every 10,000 Ohioans. That's more retail outlets than all four of the current legal marijuana states combined. Now, if you didn't recognize or realize that Ohio was voting on marijuana legalization, perhaps that's because you get your news from the big marijuana law reform organizations out there. And the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, and full disclosure, I worked for NORML for 4 years. I'm currently the executive director of Portland NORML, and everything I say is delivered in love and respect. Because to me, the NORML name and the NORML brand and history are all about supporting marijuana consumers. And I remember growing up in Idaho, coming up as a marijuana consumer, as a young man, I would go to the NORML website first and foremost to learn what I needed to know about marijuana, to learn what was happening about marijuana. So, as you might imagine, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, after having endorsed Issue 3 in Ohio, is currently marshaling all its online resources nationally and in Ohio to ensure that legalization passes in the nation's seventh most populous state, right? Well, you'd be wrong. Today, if you take a look at NORML's front page, normal.org, 20 days away from a statewide legalization vote in a state with 11.59 million people, you will find five different slides. One of them says that there's a patients substitute cannabis for booze and prescription drugs. That's a study. There's four other slides. You'll also find the NORML blog on marijuana law reform. There's a post on the Democratic debate with Sanders and Clinton. A couple of posts about pesticides in pot. A study on marijuana not promoting head and neck cancer. The Las Vegas Hemp Fest. NORML chapter report on the local level, a weekly legislative roundup, the retail sales beginning in Oregon, a study on patients substituting cannabis for booze and prescription pills, and the FBI uniform crime report on marijuana arrests. So 20 days before the seventh most populous state in America votes on statewide constitutional marijuana legalization, the NORML front page is absolutely silent on the issue. There was that one post about the NORML weekly legislative roundup. You click on that one and no mention either of Ohio. Isn't that strange? Absolutely no mention of a statewide legalization vote imminent in less than 3 weeks among 10 blog posts and 5 feature sliders. Now, when I was working for NORML, I was working in the lead-up to the 2012 election, and I can assure you there were plenty of front-page posts about Colorado's Amendment 64, Washington's I-502, and Oregon's OCTA. But wait, hold on. Maybe we need to look deeper. NORML has a link to a Take Action page. This is where reformers can look to find every single marijuana law reform measure pending in America, federal and state. So when you go to NORML's Take Action page, you find a few dozen, it's about a dozen or so federal legislation alerts. There's about 8 state legislation legalization alerts, about 3 decrim alerts at the state level, something for Pennsylvania, about 6 or 7 state medical marijuana updates, 3 state hemp updates, 4 pieces of legislation NORML opposes, about a dozen and a half approved legislation links, 5 vetoed legislation links, and what, maybe 2-3 dozen tabled legislation links. And the state of Ohio is nowhere among them. There has to be 100, 125 links on this page that I'm looking at. Maybe not that much, but a lot. Let's say 60, 70. Not a single link to Ohio's marijuana legalization, to NORML's blog post endorsing Ohio's legalization. Nothing. All right, let's keep looking. I mean, I'm pretty stunned. In fact, when you look at that NORML Take Action page, they've got a link for the measure to legalize Massachusetts in 2016. Massachusetts in 2016 gets a link, but not legalization already on the ballot in Ohio to be voted on in 20 days. All right, well, let's look at the Drug Policy Alliance. They sank millions into getting Washington's I-502 passed. That law had no home grow, instituted a per se DUID, and established the highest marijuana taxes in the world. What's their website got to say about the upcoming legalization vote? Not a thing, nothing on the front page. So I thought, let's be fair, because they cover all drugs, they cover all 50 states. So let's pick the drug policy in my state link to go to their page for Ohio. And what do we find on the Ohio page regarding the legalization that's being voted on just 20 days from now? Yeah, more crickets. All right, but this is interesting. If you go to their California page, they've got a big old paragraph on their campaign to legalize marijuana in California in 2016, touting an initiative they haven't yet even written. California 2016, an initiative that's not even written, gets a mention, but not the legalization in Ohio that's taking place in 20 days. Wow. All right. How about the Marijuana Policy Project? Now, their board, MPP's board, is officially neutral on Ohio Issue 3, so we probably shouldn't expect very much on their front page. And, of course, we take a look at it, and, yeah, nothing. Crickets. But again, MPP covers all 50 states. They've got a specific page for Ohio. Let's go to that page, and what do you know? They've actually got a mention of the Ohio legalization. On November 3rd, voters will have the opportunity to directly decide marijuana policies for their state. Issue 3, sponsored by Responsible Ohio, would allow adults who are 21 and older to use, possess, purchase, grow with a $50 license, and share a limited amount of marijuana or marijuana products. Seriously ill patients of any age could register to obtain marijuana from nonprofit dispensaries. Issue 3 would authorize the owners of 10 specific parcels of land to commercially cultivate marijuana and would allow significant numbers of retailers and product manufacturers, which would be subject to regulation and taxation. More details about the measure are available here, link. We encourage residents to carefully consider the measure and be sure to vote this November. Finally, somebody in the major marijuana drug reform groups has acknowledged on their current website that there is a legalization vote happening in 20 days. In Ohio. Now, sure, it's the non-committal consider the measure and not a vote for issue 3 on November 3, but this lip service from neutral MPP is more than the pro issue 3 normal is showing on their website currently. Now, while normal has issued an endorsement with reservations, their state affiliate in Ohio, Ohio Normal, sacked their former president for his endorsement of issue 3. Ohio Normal's leaders have been campaigning against this initiative.
There's a lot of very good arguments, I think, on both sides. However, most of the marijuana advocates I have worked with through Normal and other organizations find that we feel that we have more strength than I think sometimes we realize. Our position is that for decades, being a marginalized political group, people are just used to feeling like they're powerless and that they're going to take whatever's given to them. And what's happening is that, from a certain perspective that I agree with, wealthy interests are seeing that this is going to happen and they're trying to get their piece of the pie too. And so that has created a conflict of ideology with many who say, well, I want marijuana legalization, but I don't want it on these terms. I want it on our terms. We want it on the terms of marijuana advocates who've been in the trenches for decades. We want it with a more open marketplace. We want it to be something that's participatory for all Ohioans, not just 10 investors. And that's why we've taken the position that we have. And though it seems like, you know, obviously, in a way, it seems like a loss, like a short-term, like, you know, well, we lost this issue. We do feel that there's enough momentum growing here in Ohio and elsewhere that we will see legalization on our terms within a few years' time, and ideally federal legalization here within maybe 5 to 10 years. So that's why we've taken the stance that we have.
It's just a few years. Ohio Normal is just supporting a few more years of prohibition and people getting arrested and ticketed and fined. And if you go to their website, ohnormal.org, you won't find anything on the front page about the legalization initiative. If you scroll down a bit, you'll find their event calendar, but nothing indicated on November 3rd. And the one mention of Ohio legalization happening in 20 days is a latest news post that says Responsible Ohio Initiative faces unlikely opponents. And when you read that one, it opens with a graphic that says Dysfunction Junction. Then has a part where it says National Normal endorses the measure, but then follows it up with a quote from Paul Armentano from Normal saying that National Normal has yet to endorse the measure because this article was written in August and National Normal endorsed Issue 3 in September, yet this article has not been updated to indicate that National Normal has indeed endorsed the Issue 3 legalization. And then the article concludes with two organizational quotes from the Green Party and the Libertarian Party as to why they oppose Issue 3. Now, also included in the marijuana legalization happening in 20 days in Ohio that nobody's talking about is medical marijuana. So what is Americans for Safe Access, the nation's medical marijuana advocacy group, telling its supporters at safeaccess.org? On their front page? Well, you probably guessed it. Absolutely nothing about medical marijuana being passed in Ohio in 20 days that would allow patients for the first time ever to administer their medical marijuana on the job site as a constitutionally protected right. Let's go to their Ohio specific page. Their page for Ohio advocacy says, that's right, not a word. Now look, whether or not the Ohio Issue 3 is a good business model for commercial growing, whether or not the campaign for Issue 3 has been reckless with cartoon mascots and bad mouth in Colorado, and whether or not Issue 3 is the type of legalization these national reform organizations prefer, it is advocacy malpractice to not inform Ohio's marijuana consumers that the vote to end their own criminality is imminent. This would be better if they actually had anti-campaigns on it, but at least gave links to where the consumers could find the information for themselves. But this campaign of silence from the major national reform organizations is unacceptable. People like me in that grew up in red states rely on these websites to point them to the information they need to know and to the acts they need to take to end prohibition. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. For everyone here at Roland J. Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you